Okay, good morning. We continue in the Masilas Hashorim with the commentary of the Bilvavi. We're on page Tzadi Zayin at the three dots. Yesterday we spoke about the challenges of the mind, where there are fantasies in our mind and there is intelligence in our mind. And if a person would really use his intelligence, he would avoid making a lot of mistakes in life. And we talked a lot about that idea of wanting to have more things in life, which is all based on our fantasies. So now he takes, and this really connects to what we said last week with all our incorrect interpretations of words in terms of what love is and things like that. We have fantasies as to what love is, but we don't use our seichel as to what love is. So now he takes this idea and takes it another step, which is really, really unbelievable. He says, Elu be'etzem osam mumim she'eshim b'machshavteinu. These are the essential blemishes that are in our thought processes. Aleim edaber kan Rabbeinu Ramchal. That's what Lutzada was talking about. Because he is going on the words of Lutzada that says, how can we purify our thoughts if we don't make efforts to clean them from the blemishes that we naturally have? So this is what he's talking about. Those are those blemishes of the mind. Beyond the obvious. The obvious blemishes of the minds are not believing in Hashem, immorality, but that only comes out of the fantasies that our mind produces. And he's going to explain this more. Adam shoef u'mishtoke kol hazman. A person always wants, always yearns, always has needs. Yeshu dimyon mayikra rega echad achrei she'asig es mevukashav. A person always has an image, a fantasy, of what's going to happen the minute after he has what he wants. Right? You want something, what's it going to be like after you have it? Everything's going to be great. It's going to be amazing. V'choshev azmi thinks to himself, im yeh li esev esef, I'd have this and this, hakol yirecheres, everything will be different. Agish acheres, I feel different. If I divorced my wife and married that cute secretary, everything would be different. It'll be a perfect life. Right? If I got rid of this pest in my life, everything would be great. So those are all, that's all imagination. Kol hazman adam roitze dvar me'akech ha'medameh shebekirbo. All the time, a person wants things, it comes from the power of imagination that's inside of you. And he's going to explain how this even fits into spiritual things. Im nagia la'akara shel acha shenasik es osen dvar machaserim lanu lo yishtana klum. If we could come to the recognition that once we achieve the things that we're missing, things will still not have changed. Instantly, that would nullify any of those desires and wants. You know, why do people have challenges with their weight? If I eat this whole ice cream, I'm going to feel better. Right? That's how a lot of people deal with stress in life. I'll sit down, watch a movie, have a tub of ice cream, and everything's going to be so much better. And when you're done, it isn't any better. The movie was a lousy movie. The tub of ice cream went in and out, and you picked up another 5 pounds in the process. Nothing was better. That's only what. Now that I go to this great restaurant, it's going to be an amazing night. Go to a great restaurant, you fight with your wife, it was a lousy night. Right? These images, the simple idea, that's what we were speaking about. This is what we were speaking about last week. He's telling the mechanics of it. You know, I want to be besimcha. So, if we spend $50,000 to make the wedding, we're going to be happy. And if I tell you afterwards, you're not going to be any happier, then you wouldn't spend $50,000 on the wedding. Because if money is going to make you happy, that is a fantasy. Making a fancy wedding is going to make you happy because remember, you don't know what happiness means, as we translated it last week. Happiness is not something, if you understood logically, the seichel would tell you, you can't buy happiness. And that is the emes. You cannot buy happiness. It's why you're spending so much money trying to get it. If you'd understand that after all the money you're spending, it's not, you can't be happy. You can't make yourself. It's a whole avoda of being besimcha. It's an avoda that's a hard avoda that doesn't happen through money. That's not one of the vehicles to become happy in this life. It's an avoda of being close to Hashem that difficult avoda will bring you simcha. That's the emes. That's the hard. That's hard. I don't want that. Okay, so now you can play with your memory, your fantasies. You're going to always end up disappointed. That's what he's saying. And therefore all the taivas, all the lusts, all the things we shouldn't be running after, at the end of the day, it doesn't make you any happier. Right? So we wouldn't want these things. What would this be analogous to? Adam shakua b'taivas amomen. A person is steeped in the drive for money. Who calls man misav l'asig od vod kesef. He always is looking for more money. But it's vermi g'eso ad k'dei machlas nefesh. He gets to the point where he gets sick over it. Or at least he emotionally is not well over it. It gets to the point, if you get so into money, it doesn't matter even if you embarrass yourself. Lamod berchov shel ir lekabitz nedavos, to go to the city streets and to ask for charity. The main thing is to get money that he's looking after. He stands at the street corner to get donations. Now, what if they told him, so they said in the beginning, I want you to know, every donation you get, you're putting it in your pocket, right? There's a hole in your pocket. Every shekel you put into your pocket, you pull out, it falls to the ground. Do you think he would agree then to subjugate himself to collecting money if he knew that every penny was going through his pocket? Lo, no. At the end of the day, he won't even get a shekel at the end. So he's saying, that's the analogy. He's saying, the power of the drive for money is so strong, it overcomes the taiva to have self-respect. It's a taiva to have respect. I want people to respect me. I want to have money. There's two taivas. Which one is stronger? The one for money, for many people. He's willing to humiliate himself to make another buck. Now, that's not necessarily just the mishulach who's knocking on your door. As we explained last Shabbos afternoon, before mincha, you can be a big businessman, and you're just as big of a schnorrer. Businessmen are no different schnorrers than anyone else. You're schnorring for business. And you have to go, we just dress it up. You put on a suit and you call them clients. But you're a schnorrer. And that's what life is. That's the curse of making a living. You're a schnorrer. You have to be nice to the patient for this. You have to put up with every mishigas somebody gives you. You really want to throw them out and say, you're the most disgusting person in the world. You have the worst, mitos. And you come late for meetings, and you stretch me to the limit, you jerk me out, and you this and that, you don't treat me like a mensch, but I'm gonna get paid for it. And you come home with aggravations, I don't know, this client, I've told him 10 times he has to do this, he doesn't give it to me, all the clients are waiting till for the same deadline. Don't they realize if they would send me this stuff in advance, they can just have a little derech eretz? No? Am I imagining this?
Yeah.
I'm imagining.
No, it goes to some extent, but you know, if you sell a product, you sell a service, you're not the same as someone who's collecting money and asking for money.
You're exactly the same. If anything, you're worse.
You're doing something.
The guy who's snoring is giving everybody the ability to do a mitzvah of giving tzedakah. That's what the Medrash disagrees with you. The Medrash says that the one who asks for the money is doing a bigger mitzvah than the one who's giving.
If we didn't do the so-called snoring, there'd be no money at all to...
I didn't say that. That's not true. I'm not disagreeing with you, but you're still a snorer. A schnorr means I want money. I need money. So you're using this way to get money from people. The collector's using a different way to get the money. But at the end of the day, you want the same thing. You want money. That's all.
Is there a better way?
There's no better way. Oh, okay. We're all schnorrs. Let's come to terms with that.
I would disagree that you can put any of us in the same category. Somebody comes begging for money.
We are both asking other people for money, just in a different way.
Or a product in exchange for money. That's different. We're offering a product.
So is the schnorrer. He is offering you olam haba. If the schnorr doesn't come, you don't give tzedakah, you're not getting into olam haba without him.
He doesn't have to come for me to give tzedakah.
Yes, he does.
Without him coming.
Okay, who are you going to give tzedakah to? Tell me.
Who?
Tell me how you're going to give tzedakah. Describe it to me. How are you going to feed the poor?
I'll just send a donation to Link.
Oh, to Link. And what's Link going to do with your money? You're just... So what's Link going to do with your money? So you send the money to the guy in charge of the link. He has $1,000. You haven't done the mitzvah tzedakah yet. Now, the schnorr has to come to link, and the link gives him the money, and that's how you got the mitzvah. If the poor man has to come and ask or get the money. If he doesn't get the money, so the schnorr is provided. That's why Hashem made poor people in the world. So if without the poor people who ask for the money, they're providing you a service. The service is that you can now do chesed.
So, you send money,
it's our imaginations that are saying that they're the schnorr and I'm the professional. You don't realize that it was Hashem who gave you a better life circumstance than them, and you're darn lucky that you were born into a situation that is that way. You're in a better mazel, and he's in a different mazel. So because Hashem gave you either better mazel, better mind, better ability, right? And really, that you schnorred off of God. You know, but you're just describing the fantasy world that everyone is in.
Maybe
that's all.
Maybe I'm the only one.
And you feel more covet. You feel more covet.
Is anybody not a schnorr?
Everyone's a schnorr.
So if everyone's a schnorr, I absolutely agree.
No, everybody. Everybody. It's just dressed up differently.
Do you beg for things? Or do you try and sell?
First of all, the schnorr doesn't beg. Excuse me.
I provide the service and then I beg to get paid.
That's right. You're begging. How many times do you have to
go?
How many times do you have to go after a client? You have to embarrass yourself. You have to this, you have to this. That's right, that's right. It's all with a suit and tie. It's the only difference. A real collector goes like this. Let me tell you what a real collector does. The real professional collector says, I forgot to remember the Lashonis. I might not remember exactly what Lashonis is. I want to provide you an opportunity. He doesn't say, please give me. He says, I'm coming here to do you a favor. I want you to be a partner in building a Jewish tomorrow.
Holding up your tongue
wrap. Right? You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, I'm gonna give you an opportunity. There's only so many investors I can take. We only need $1 million. That's all we need. And I only need a few investors. And I'm going to you, I'm giving you a chance to invest. You can imagine all the people were being makariv now. You know how much chusim you're getting. I could go to any rich man, and I'm doing you a favor. Really, you guys should be running to me. If you knew what I was giving you, you'd be running, banging. In the next world, you're going to yell at me. Why didn't you give me the first opportunity? I'm doing you the biggest favor to go and help marry off my children. To do the mitzvah, that's fair. And I'll come in with a suit and tie. You look at this in Mishulachim. At the door, there's the ones who mamish look like mamish Nebuch, and they really, but they look like a bunch of losers. But the smart guys come in with a suit and tie, with a portfolio, and a this and a that, and telling you, you know, what every mitzvah is worth, and this and that, and you're jumping to do the mitzvah. You know, how are you different than a guy who's selling real estate in Florida? The guy is selling you Olam Haba at the cheapest rates possible. But we call him a schnorr.
Was Yaakov Avinu a
schnorr? Everyone. He had a schnorr to get his wives. How did he get his wives? He had to work 20 years to schnorr for his wives. Do you understand what kind of suffering he went through 20 years to get what he wanted? To get a wife? Yeah, I'm saying it's how you, I'm just trying to describe, this is all the fantasies. The guy who's asking for the money, we degrade him. The guy who's a professional, we say he's amazing. Well, you got it all upside down. We're not taking against anything professional. You have to make a living. But don't for one minute think that the poor guy asking for money is giving you, he's giving you better deals. But in this world, if you're spending money, you have to see an immediate return. And if not, do you think you're being the greatest guy in the world? Remember, you have an obligation to give tzedakah. You're not being a nice guy. You're fulfilling your debt to God. God, when he gave you the money, said, I'm only giving you on condition that you give 10% to tzedakah. And if you don't, I don't want to be a business partner with you. No, out of the graciousness of my heart, I am giving money. Oh, baloney. It's a God's graciousness who gave you the money. Don't you know? But in the fantasy world, I made the money. It's good to live in a fantasy world. And if I, right? But you didn't do anything. You made the effort? Hashem bless it. You know there's guys who make the efforts 10 times smarter, you make no money. Right? And then the bozos who don't have any brains, and they're making all the money because they got lucky. They've invested in this stock and that stock, and they just, that happens. You all know that happens. Right? So what? It's Hashem saying, you gotta give the money, you're not doing anything nice. But the fantasy says, oh, I'm such a swell guy. Yeah, you're not a Russia. Thank you. You're not a Ghana from Hashem. That's what you are. That's the MS. The people, the real generous people, they don't, you know, lord themselves and make people feel how much, you know, you are indebted to them. They're saying, what are you calling me? This is what I'm supposed to do. What are you thanking me for? I should thank, a real proper wealth man says, I should thank you. You know, I should thank you. You gave me the opportunity. That's living in reality. Not living in reality. So that's what we're talking about. The guy who's looking for money here, right? Where are we going now? So he's saying that from the tithe of the lust of money can even be stronger than the lust for honor. Who muchan lisbazos, he's willing to denigrate himself for the money. Because at the end of the day, he imagines my pockets are going to be filled with money. Equals happiness. But if it was clear to him after he's denigrated, he still won't have money. Because remember, there's a hole in his pocket, right? He wouldn't embarrass himself for nothing. If you're embarrassing yourself after a client, oh, here's a good example, right? What do lawyers tell you? If you ever want to sue anybody, make sure of one thing, that the guy's got some money you can collect. Right? And when he's got no money to collect, he says, I'm not going to spend $50,000 on a lawyer to get nothing. Right? Don't waste your time. So that's what he's saying. You know, you have this idea that's going to make you happy. You're going to spend all this time, effort, energy, and embarrassment. It isn't going to make you any happier. Yimnavim ba'etzem. If we would understand that essentially all the powers that we have within ourselves, all things we want are merely an illusion. If you can at least get that, we've begun to purify our thinking. It's the first step. Even if you're not sure how to do it and when it manifests itself, but you at least understand that almost all the things we want in life is a facade and an illusion, then you're beginning to get on the tracks of proper thinking. Like we said yesterday with the Rabbi Nachman story, if you know, at least put the crazy on your head, you're already ahead of the game. If you know you're crazy, you're ahead of the game. Now, he takes this a lot further. It's just beautiful. Tzadiches. Ma, akoach ha-makshova sheba'adam kol besochas ha-mochen shal ha-sechel va-mochen shal ha-dimen. Now, the power of thought within a person incorporates two aspects. It's the thinking of intellect and the thinking of imagination. And they're always working together and mixed up. This is the real brains and this is the fantasy. And it comes like this. In everything you look at, you got two ideas mixed together. The guy has to use his intellect for the reality that's in front of him. There's a physical table, there's a physical tape recorder, there's a physical car, there's a physical job, and there's things that your mind understands, the physical things that are in front of you, right? And that's one thing. And that's when you use your real brains right in front of you. But when do you use the imagination? In general, not always, and looking at the future. Because the future isn't here. You have to project, imagine what the future will be. So in other words, what's the here and now, pretty much using the regular brains, normal brains. But in the future, we're using our imagination. Many times, even the present, people look with their imagination. Meaning to say, somebody didn't look at you right, you say, oh, they must hate me. Who said they hate you? Maybe he has a stomachache. Yeah, I made a big smile to me. He was frowning. He must hate me. Now, is that seichel or imagination? You know, so it can even happen in the present. But Kamoshi Kazar Rav Dessler, Shaasi Kuludimyanas, Vahova Huamatsias. Rav Dessler says the future is full of imagination, the present is reality. Adamidamian person imagines, Shiba Asid Yakabakh, the future will have this and this. Humiskane Mirosh Shanim. No, Mirosh, I'm trying to how to read these words here. Humiskane Mirosh Shanim Al Gabi Shanim Ayya.
He prepares Yeah.
Okay. Meroshadim. Okay. He prepares himself from early years for future years. Anashim begil tzair kvar choshim mayeh mildeim. People who are very young, they start thinking what's going to be with their yaldeihem, with their kids. Imihem yischatnu, who they're going to get married to. Heichen yigor, where they're going to live. You gave birth a little boy, right? You're already thinking the whole future. You're plotting out. We know what school he's going to go to. We know what yeshiva is going to go to. I know what university he's going to go to. I already have a family. I already have a shidduch in mind for him. The kid's 6 months old. Right? Aval ad oz hakol osi l'shanas, but it could all change in the interim. But there are people who think that, and to great extents. Machshavas ha'adam hu bebechinas eitz hadas tovarav. Really, a person's thinking is really the aspect of the forbidden fruit. The forbidden fruit was called eitz hadas, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Everyone forgets those last two words. Knowledge of good and evil, meaning to say, Adam kolet es hametzias, a person is able to absorb the reality, that's tov, but the ra, hu kolet dimyonos, the evil, so to speak, is the imagination. Hamachshava shalom uvrav v'tov v'rav, our thoughts are mixed up with good and bad. Mitzias, reality, im dimyonos v'vasachas, with fantasy at the same time. V'kan t'muna habaya kasha, here's the big problem. We're thinking with our logic and with our imagination simultaneously. What can you compare this to? Adam Adam Yemes Atzma Meniach Sir Al Gavi Esh Delekes. A guy imagines in his mind he's putting a pot on top of a fire, top of a burner. Umachlus Al Chasir Tapuchi Adama Umayim. He puts in the pot potatoes and water. He's imagining all this. He's imagining all this. He's imagining making a cholent, yeah? If it's all imagination, look, Karkum, nothing happened. Nothing good, nothing bad. They're all imagining it, right? Who summons at Sir al Gabi Yeshbid Dimionos, he put the pot on an imaginary stove. He put the potatoes in with his imagination. Everything's imagination. Lepachas will serve Kum, at least he didn't burn anything. He imagined it all. Look at this. Avolim chatzi dimyon v'chatzi. What if he's half real and half imagining? Hasir agabi eishum etzis. Let's say he really does put the pot and turns on the burner. That he did. But he imagined to put the potatoes and the water in. Rak v'dimyon. Hasir yisarek. The pot will burn. Uli timen, maybe. Gam kol abayis olu yisarev, the whole house may burn down. It's a very simple analogy, but the answer is saying you can cause so much destruction when you live with both realities at the same time. Right? If I just imagined the whole thing, nothing happened. At worst, I wasted my time. I didn't burn anything. The house is still there. But the guy figures, you know, I'll imagine that I put the potatoes in water, but I really turned the burner on with them again. I'll burn the house down. So, im hayalanu olam shel seichel levad, olam shel din levad. If we either lived in a world of pure 100% intellect, or if we lived in a world of 100% fantasy, remember, fantasy means you think about it, you don't do it. Adam rak haye yoshev chamesh dakos v'yom damiyem lots of yom. So, the person would sit 5 minutes a day just dreaming and imagining, but it's all imagination. Ulay zelo anakuda chichiv espichim. That might not be the most important thing in life. Might not be the best thing to do. Avolapachos kishahaya gomer ledamien how you do it. But when he finished imagining, he knew clearly. Eldimyon said, "Look, I'm just dreaming, and that's it." Kshavli sasing mitzias. But when he has to deal with reality, yedeshes emitzias. You know, reality is one thing. Dreaming was a nice dream. Dream. What would happen if I had $1 million? Okay, if I had $1 million, I'd do this and this and that. But I don't, so I won't. I may even feel bad I can't, but now I know I don't got that kind of money, so now I live with my, bread and butter and mashed potatoes. And I'm living in touch with my reality. I wanted to have a fantasy, and I just, you know, it's for my entertainment. We're not saying that's the best use of your time, but at least you're not damaging yourself. Okay? Habayah Shalom, the real problem is, the real problem is, we live with both mixed up. We live with the intellect and the fantasy at the same time, and we blur and distort them. They're mixed together. If we live that way, our service is destined to fail. Now I give some examples. One example, spiritual. One example, physical. Yeah?
Sorry. You're making an assumption that the fantasies are all negative. What if my fantasies...
No, no, it's positive. We're going to say, look, you know, let me just...
So far, everything is negative. What if my fantasies to be a psychic and knowledgeable...
So hang on. So hang on, he's gonna tell you right now. That's the next example. Out of Masla Lilma Masefta, the guy's starting to learn a book of Talmud. Okay? Who call us Mam and Damye Masai Sama? His fantasy is, when am I gonna finish it? Right? Now that's a damaging fantasy. May Rog Dimyonos, who wrote to Laha speak Od Vod, with all his dreaming, he wants to finish it. And then he sees reality isn't playing out what he imagined it to be like. He says, I'm going to finish this Masechta. I'm going to finish it in 3 months. I'm going to know this thing. He's imagining now. He doesn't know what's going to happen. He hasn't turned one page yet in the Gemara yet. I can do this in a couple months. There's only how many pages? You can read an English book. Yeah, imagine, take a Talmud. Take Marcus, okay? A whole what? 23 pages, double-sided, 46 pages. How long does it take for me to finish 46 pages? Man, give me a Jim Clancy book. Man, I could do 500 pages in a day. Right? 46 pages, what's it going to be? I'm imagining to be a scholar in Talmud. A scholar in Talmud is 2,700 pages. It's five and a half thousand pages. Okay, I bet I should be a scholar in about a year. You know? And this is what happens with kids, with boys who come back from yeshiva. They come back from Eretz Yisrael after 1 year in yeshiva. After, you know? They're all on fire. They, Rebbe, I'm gonna come back to Toronto. I'm gonna know the whole Bavli in 1 year, and the whole Yerushalmi in another year, and all of Shulchan Aruch in another year, and 3 years gonna be the biggest scholar. Now, those are great, and then I'm gonna be happy. Right? That's not your magic. Now you open up the Gemara. Right? And you go through the first page, and it's Nishtgit. And always the first page of every Masechta is the craziest of all the pages in the Masechta. And you say, who in the world would have composed a page like that? You're purposely making it hard for me not to get it? I have to finish this whole thing. I'm already 28 pages behind, and we're only one day into the program. Now, what's he going to start feeling? Failure. Why? Because he imagined. He wasn't in touch with reality, and he had the best of intentions. I want to be a scholar. He really does. But you're imagining you want to be a scholar. You're not in touch with reality. Because reality means there's a lot of work to be a scholar. Maybe, you know what, you really don't want to be a scholar. In your real mind, you don't want to be a scholar. In reality, you don't. You don't even know what it means. Right? So what happened? One side. So it means, Yayish Kremit Kriya. Ah. So that, then he really gives up when he says it isn't going the way he said. He gives up. Imirosh lahayelo. Next page. Dimyanos. But if he didn't have any imagination at the beginning, imhayimitsu wasi, if he was real, hayimaspiklo kamasho, he'd be happy with what he learnt. He'd be satisfied with what he learnt. Avokimin shit demyanaber, but since he imagined a lot, the soul should over, no fail at the end, he falls. If he would say, you know what, I'm gonna learn, I hope one day to finish it, maybe. And if I don't, that's also good. Because the real truth is, as long as you're learning anything, that's the greatest thing you can do. You know, you have to have a goal. I'm not saying you can't have goals, but don't take the goals too seriously. In other words, what I mean to say is, my goal is, yeah, we all have a goal to finish Shas, but let's not put timelines on it. When you put timelines, unrealistic timelines, that's when you begin to fall into despair. And that's where you start imagining. You have to say, listen, you know what? I don't know. Maybe my goal is I'll learn one page in a year. Maybe that's a more realistic goal. We start imagining, who says covering pages is an important aspect of learning Torah? It's not a question of flipping pages. Right? And that's what usually happens. Most young kids get depressed when they see they're not scholars so quickly. This is a hard business. You know, you have to be, to be a doctor, they have said, no, that takes 8 years. Of course, nobody, I think, fools themselves and say, I want to be a doctor, I'm going to be a doctor in 6 months. Nobody fools them, because that's not real. It's not real. I've got 4 years university, 4 years of medical school, 3 years residency. If I want to be a heart specialist, another 5 years of specialty. It's going to take me 16 years, but I'm prepared. I know what it's going to take, and it's going to take, I'm going to take a little bit here, a little bit there. And I know what it's going to take because I've seen everybody, and that's the way it works. But the person says, well, to learn Torah, that's easy. I can do that fast. So you build this whole image up, and the image doesn't come true. So then you get depressed. Then you give it up. Okay, that's in a spiritual way. And this is so true. This is so true. It's like incredibly true. And what, again, you have to, the reality is, you want to live with the reality. What's the reality? The reality is, at the end of the day, God's going to give you a big bechina, and you better know what's on the test. But thank God, He gives you a long life. And hopefully you'll have another 30, 40, 50, 60 years to be ready for that test. And then you make reasonable goals. Okay? You know, really it's going to take me a year to learn Makos. Even though it's only 23 pages. Right? That's what I keep telling you guys. 23 pages. Right? When did we start? In the summertime? Pesach time? But I told you in advance. I told you it's going to take a year. Right? And I said, and get ready. It's going to be hard. And I said, it's going to be days you're not going to understand if you're coming or going. And you still have to keep plugging away at it. So now, but what happened? We started with how many guys? 15 guys. How many we got now? 8 or 9. Nah, there's some weddings this week. Give an excuse. No, I'm just saying, you know, what happened to everybody? What happened to everybody? Because there are people walking into a class with imagination. People walk in with their intelligence. Saying, okay, the rabbi says it's going to be hard. He says the most important thing I could do is to learn Gemara. And it's an important thing to do. My sechel is important to do. Oh, but the Yetzer Hara is giving you all these kinds of imaginations, saying, you know, this is really dumb. What do you need to learn this for? You know, this is, when's the next time you're going to lash somebody? Right? What have to learn it for? But the rabbi says, no, the etzem is everything you know. It's a mitzvah for what you're doing. And it's not a dumb thing that you're doing. Right? So the rabbi is trying to give you sechel. The Yetzer Hara is trying to give you imagination. And it's tug and war. That's what's, it's all mixed up. That's what's giving people problems. But let's get to something more practical. As if this wasn't. Harbe anashim einim garbim sechodesh. The certain people, they can't make it to the end of the month. Now this is so true. Right? We all know people who are swamped in debt. Right? Swamped in debt. Right? And they have to also need debt, what do you call it? Consolidation. And you wonder how in the world these people ever get into debt. Like, I don't know. I don't know about you guys, but with me, my cycle says, you don't got it, you don't spend it. I'm thinking I'd be a genius to know that, no? You don't got it, you don't spend it. Simple. If you don't have about a 95% degree of certainty that you're gonna get the money, that you don't, you know, I plan on getting X amount of dollars, and therefore I'm gonna spend that. You know what? Wait till you have it and then you buy it. Just to be safe. Okay. But you've got a job that's bringing in regular money. Okay. Then Segel says, if you're bringing in $10,000 a month, then you can plan on spending $10,000 a month. That's also okay. But where's the guy who's bringing in $10,000 a month? He's spending $15,000 a month. And he's got a credit line of $75,000, so I can blow this line for about a year and a half. And in a year and a half now, I'll deal with the $75,000 debt. Where's your seichel? Where is your seichel? Now here is the problem where you've got a seichel and imagination at the same time. And this is where it gets destructive. Why can't people finish the month? How did this happen? If the guy clearly knew, there ain't no income coming in. What I'm spending, it was clear. Well, you couldn't, he wouldn't buy anything. Or buy more than what he needs, right? He knows that's not gonna pay. But by what's the problem? He has a certain amount of income. And he has a certain income in mind that he's gonna have in the coming months. You know, yeah, I figure I'm gonna be bringing in every month, whatever, $10,000 a month. Truth is, he brings in $7,000. But he's hoping he'll get 10. 7 is real. He's got a real job. Real job every month. Salaried worker. $7,000 a month. Right? And then he's working on these things on the side. You know. Investments. Well, yeah, whatever. Investments. You know. Or I'm trying out some things and I'm counting on certain money coming. You see this all the time with people. all the time. Don't you see this? We're planning, we'll get another 3,000. Have you ever had it? No, but it's a sure thing. You know, like those sure things? Right? We're all investing in gold. I'm borrowing $200,000 against the house. Right? And they're guaranteeing me a 15% return. And it's gonna come at the end of the year. So what's that gonna give me? $30,000 extra? Well, math isn't 100% good. So I can spend an extra $3,000 a month. I'm off by a couple thousand. And there's not a problem. And there'll be interest of that, obviously. It's on my power line. You know, it's only 4.5% interest. And by the end of the year, okay, I'm going to have a debt of about $35,000. But that gold will, they told me for sure, within a year it's going up. It's going to go up by that percentage. And I'll have more than enough money to pay for that. Really. Okay. So therefore, I can take the trip to Jamaica now. I can buy the new car. I can buy this. I can buy that. Because it's all coming. Okay, so what happens? So part of it is true. But he's hoping, but really fantasizing, she titafech will expand. He's taking the reality of what the income is with the imagination of it increasing. Therefore, what's the result of that? He buys more than what he can pay. Isn't that the dumbest thing in the world? Now, if the guy was a real schnorr and has no money, he has no dream, no fantasies of spending money he doesn't have. He has no credit line. The selfish of the day, Hamaskaris ain't a gadla. The income didn't go anymore. Vulugamaskaris, he can't make the ends meet at the end of the month. If we think clearly, most mistakes a person make isn't 100% fantasy. The people who fantasize all the time, they are 99 Queen Street. They're in the loony bin, right? They're not the people walking down the street. The real crazy people who are totally delusional, there's a place for them. The mistakes we make usually come from the fact we mix reality with imagination. When suddenly the dream vanishes, then now worse, the worst cut, then part of the reality falls. Look at this example, end with this. Guy is going to buy an apartment in Eretz Yisrael. Yeshlo biyad chamishim elef dollar. That's 50,000 U.S. cash. V'lokech mashkanta al sach shivim elef dollar or something. Then he wants to take out a mortgage, 70,000. Right? 70,000 the mortgage. This is Israel numbers. This is Israel numbers. Okay. Wait, but you don't know how much money he's making. 50,000 he schnorred. he's not making money to pay a mortgage of 70. Who damyen shev shirusul ahasr skum mesuyim kol soif. He figured, okay, $70,000 mortgage, every month, I don't know, you gotta pay $2,000 a month, right? If he didn't calculate, he only makes $500 a month. He didn't make that calculation, right? But I'm gonna buy the house, I have $50,000 real dollars. $50,000 is intellect, that's real. That's $50,000. The $70,000 I imagined I could pay off the $70,000 mortgage with the really $50,000. What happens to such a person? The bank takes the whole house and he's in the street, power of sale. Hadim Yonos, what does his imagination give him? Gormelo Shigamachil Kamatsio Shihoyolo, even the real thing he had, Khamishim of the $50,000, Kaisa, no, he doesn't even have that either. If he would have not done anything, he would have had $50,000 in the bank. What did he do? He took $50,000 on what the imagination is telling is going to come out, because he's going to be able to pay the $70,000. So what did the imagination, the fact that imagination is mixed with reality. If I had no money, I don't lose anything. But I had $50,000. I had $70,000 imagined, and when I mixed the two together, I blurred, and that 70 was as real to me as the 50, you end up, they take the house and you have nothing. And that's where imagination mixed with reality causes damage, not just I'm not getting benefits.
That's a bargain worth
today. No. But it's not yours. The bank took it. The bank took.
If we waited to have all the cash, we should be sitting in this room.
No, again, you. If the guy says, I'm making enough money that I can pay the mortgage, then he's living in reality. People come to me. I say, I don't understand. How did you get yourself in $50,000 in debt? I said, how did you spend the stuff you knew you didn't have the income? Well, the credit company gave me the credit line. So what? So why did you spend what you didn't have? Oh, yeah. Because they wanted it so much. Their wives nudged them so much. They feel like they're failures if they don't buy it. They say everybody else has it, so you had to buy it. But you don't think what's going to be at the end of the day, you got to pay for it. End of the day, you have no credit line. End of the day, you're in jail. Okay.
He did this example in another book, renting an apartment, and you got 500 shekels a month, and it costs 10,000.
Yeah, but here he explains it so much better. Okay. Go ahead.